Right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up the song 355. Song number 355, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Song number 355. Classic on the first.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
On the last,
are we weak and heavy laden? Covered with the Lord again. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee.
Turn to our next song, song number 50. Song number 50, Peace, Perfect Peace. Song number 50.
Afternoon. This time we'll go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up. I think pretty much everyone was here this morning, so if you open up to the first page. Once again, our service time, Sunday morning at 10:30, So an afternoon at 4 is our last time at 4 o'clock. So next week, we're starting 5 p.m. Just make note of that, 5 p.m. starting next week. And then, of course, Wednesday night at excuse me, at 7 is our Bible study. We're going to be Isaiah chapter 60 this week. We got the soul-winning opportunities listed there, as well as salvations and baptisms. Let's go ahead and count up our salvations. Pen. It's the one that was up here. All right. Yeah. All right. If you went out soul winning today and had any salvation, slip your hand up real quick. We'll get a count. 2, 3, 4. Did I miss anybody? All right. Very good. And did I miss anyone from earlier in the week? Were there any salvations that did not already get recorded? All right. Well, good job. Keep up the good work out there. I know today wasn't too bad, but it's getting hot in general. Hot time of year, hot Atlanta. Just keep up the good work. Stay hydrated. So we got the drinks for all the soul winners. People, you know, obviously water's for everybody, and then all the Gatorades and stuff like that. Keep yourself hydrated. So very good. Keep continuing on here. Offering totals listed down there at the bottom of the page for the month of June. Can you pray for everyone on our list? Mrs. Weatherby, I don't know, has anyone gotten any updates today? Maybe not.
Yeah,
she's still, okay, still pregnant. So pray for her. Obviously, you know, she's close, very close. So let's continue to pray for her and her family. And then, we added Kate there. Went over that this morning as well. So please pray for her. And I added Hold Fast Baptist Church, Pastor Jared Pizarnski in Fresno, California, as our church and pastors were praying for this week. Happy Father's Day. I think everyone is here this morning. All the fathers got their gift that we're here this morning. So we got a few left over. And we got prizes for our Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone was waiting for those Bible memory prizes. Now we got something. Happy Father's Day, all fathers. Appreciate the hard work. And, of course, we already gave out those gifts this morning. The June challenge is to attempt to give the gospel at least one person every single day of the month. Obviously, if you went out tolling with us today, you've checked that box for today. If not, make sure you try to approach somebody and give them the gospel and try to do that for the rest of the month. We've got the anniversary weekend. It's here. And I can't believe it's already upon us. So this Saturday, we've got the pavilion reserved. Now, at this park, there's a lake. So it's a very large park. We've been there once before, okay? I think there's even a couple different entrances. So depending on where you come in from, there's a lot of soccer fields, baseball fields, all kinds of stuff. But just drive around. The pavilion that we have rented has parking lot access to this little lake. So there's also a playground nearby. So if you look for, it's also by the aquatic center. If you go up the hill, there's an aquatic center. That's a little bit too far, but we're going to be down the hill from the aquatic center at the park. So all of those, just kind of keep those in mind, because I don't think the pavilions are labeled very great. Leslie? Yeah, I know it's Pavilion 3. We have that listed here, but I don't think they're labeled very great is what I'm saying. I don't think that it's marked very well when you get there. So I'm trying to give some landmarks to go by when you get there. You know, if you find the pavilion that's by the lake, that's going to be the one that we're at, essentially, because there's a path that goes around the lake, but there's really only one kind of main place to be at. I think there's two pavilions there, but you'll find us. Look for the bounce houses. Look for the inflatables. If you show up anytime past 10, then you should see us there. And anyone that wants to show up a little bit early and help set up, be appreciated as well. We'll have food, we'll have lunch, we'll have snacks and drinks, and it should be a lot of fun. So just come prepared. We do, like I said before, we don't have a water slide like we did the last time we were there. But so just come prepared for the heat. Come prepared, and also just to have some fun. And looking forward to that. And then, of course, on Sunday, we will also be having some food in between the church services as well as we celebrate our 4 years as a church. Pastor Anderson is going to be here preaching for us on Sunday, July 10th. And I will be out of town, but he's going to be preaching both Sunday services. We also have an extra soul winning time on Saturday, so the time is established now. It's going to be 9:45 to 12:30. You're going to meet up right here. So it gives you a good solid couple hours. And then after that, you're welcome to have lunch provided by church back here at the building. So I don't care what you guys get. We'll talk about that, Chick-fil-A or whatever, sandwich, you know, whatever you guys want to do, pizzas, I don't care, will be provided here for all the soul winners to eat after the soul winning time on Saturday. And then Bible memory passage. So we're starting a new one this week. The deadline is tonight for the past six verses 7 through 12. And now we're on verses 13 through 19. And I've given you 4 weeks to do this. It's our same two verses a week plan with one verse at the end for 1 week. And then we'll be combining all of these together to quote all of Hebrews chapter 3 to earn a little bonus prize for being able to do that if you've been keeping up with it. So that's the plan for the Bible memory. We've got the birthdays and anniversaries listed through the month of July down at the bottom of the page. And that is about it for our announcements. So we will turn the service back over to Brother Peter. He's going to lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to song number 121. Psalm number 121, Like a River Glorious. Psalm 121.
Her
ushers, if they could please do that for me. All right, church, while the offering plates are being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Again, that's Romans chapter 1. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. And ask Brother Jesse if he can please do that for us.
In Romans chapter 1, the Bible reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain of their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Father, you thank you for this time you've given us again to come here this evening to hear the Word of God preached. And pray you bless Pastor Dave Burns right now. Fill him with the Holy Ghost so you can teach the Word of God effectively, boldly. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's just a matter of time in June before you just have to dedicate an entire sermon to the things that are going on in the world about you on a daily basis. And, you know, of course, we're talking about pride. And the subject of my sermon today is the abomination of pride. Abomination of pride. So, we know the group of people who are clinging to this pride, right? And they fly the rainbow flag. We know who they are. They know who they are. The whole world knows who they are. Unfortunately, the quote-unquote good people of the world for a long time have been trying to tolerate it, have been trying to look the other way, have been trying to ignore it, have been trying to just let them do their thing and try to be left alone, but that didn't work out very well because they won't leave you alone. And this is the nature of who they are. And I'm not going to get too deep into that tonight. We started with Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 explains very clearly what happens to certain people when they know who God is. They know the God of the Bible. They know the one true God. They understand, but they reject. They know God, but as the Bible says here in Romans 1, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. They don't care about the true God, the God of the Bible, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So he's talking about people who, they knew God, but they say, oh, I don't want anything to do with God. I'm going to make up my own God. It's idolatry. You just decide, you know what? Nuts to the God of the Bible, nuts to the Lord. They may even call this idol the Lord or whatever they make up, but they don't like the attributes of God. They don't like who God is. So they want to make up their own God. And there are plenty of people out in the world that like to do that and want to do that because they don't want, and this goes back to what I was teaching on Wednesday, they don't want to hear the truth. They just want to hear what they want to hear. So the only way to do that, if you're not interested in truth, you're going to have to come up with a different God. You have to make up a God that's going to lie to you, a God that's dumb and blind and deaf and can't talk, because then you just have to put your words in its mouth. That's what idolatry is. You're making up a God. You're deciding what God thinks, what God feels, what God says is right and wrong, and all to make yourself feel better about the wicked, sinful activities that you like or you don't want to confront or any aspect of the truth that you don't like. This is what people do to justify their actions. This is one of the things they do. Obviously, there's many things that people do. But in this group of people, and this is not referring to people who didn't know anything about God, that didn't understand who God is, that didn't understand the way of salvation. This is not those groups of people, because there are plenty of people who worship false gods, but they don't have knowledge of the true and living God. They don't really understand. They don't really know. These are the people we try to reach every day with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may be spiritual. They may go to church. They may have all these different things. They have false gods and they don't even know it. They're sincerely thinking that they're following the truth, right? They're trying to do what's right, but they're just unsaved. They've been blinded by the God of this world. They've been deceived by deceivers. And they just need to hear the truth so that they can accept the truth and get saved. That is not what Romans 1 is talking about here at all. And why am I going into any detail about this? Because there are people who will tell you as we continue to read Romans chapter 1, oh no, that's just the condition of lost man. When we start to read all the various sins and all the things that are ascribed to this group of people that Romans 1 in context is talking about, they'll apply this to all unsaved people. Wrong. Because not all unsaved people were professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Not all unsaved people can say they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. That is not the case for all unsaved people out there in the world. This is a specific group of people. This is a group of people that changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and made an image. They made an idol. So because of these reasons with this group of people who knew better and still wanted to do their own thing anyways, which you know what that means? They rejected God. Because they substituted a different God in his place. That's the real God? I don't like that. Let me put a different God in his place. I reject that God. I'm going to turn to something else. They had a choice. And they didn't love it. For many people, when you come to that decision point and you come to that level of understanding, that could be the final choice that you have on the matter forever. Right. Just no more second chances. Yeah. That's it. This is the group of people that we're talking about here that get to this point. Now look, I can't walk down a path for every single person who's ever come to this point in their life. Because everybody might have some different circumstances and different levels of understanding and different, you know, at a point where they're going to make that rejection. But this is still talking about the same group of people who come to that point where they make that rejection. This is what we're talking about here. This is what the context of Romans 1 deals with. It's sloppy to try to apply this to everybody when that's not what the context is talking about. So as a result here of verses 21 through 23 of these people rejecting God and then making up their own idols, God reacts to this. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Say, okay, you don't want me? You want to set up your own gods? Fine, I'm going to give you up to what's uncleanness? Being unclean. Now, oftentimes uncleanness also contains like a connotation with sexual practices. Not necessarily fully, but that's oftentimes goes hand in hand, as we're going to see here, through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, yeah, that's what we're talking about. People dishonoring their bodies between themselves. God gave them over through the lust of their own heart. I mean, this is coming out of their own heart. And God just gave them up to that uncleanness. Which means if they weren't given up to that uncleanness before, they weren't doing that. There was a restriction. I call it a governor. Right? Some people are familiar with governors that are placed in cars that prevent a vehicle from driving faster than a certain speed limit. It prevents the engine from revving up. It stops right there. It's a physical hard stop. God has placed that stop in mankind in general when it comes to committing unnatural, unclean things of people dishonoring bodies between themselves. There is a hard stop. It's too much. There's a line that people just naturally are given to not cross. But for this group of people, he says, you know what? I'm just going to give you up to that. Why? Because it's so shameful. Say, okay, you want to do that? There you go. It's the kind of at the bottom of depraved and just in shame. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause. So again, God doesn't just do this without cause. God doesn't just choose random babies to be like, okay, you're just going to commit a bunch of uncleanness between your bodies. You're going to go after strange flesh and just pick and choose. No, there's a cause for it. There's a cause, which is why I don't believe anybody is born with this attraction to commit perversion. We're going to call it what it is because we like dealing with the truth. Homosexuality is perversion. It's a pervert. People are perverts that engage in homosexual acts. It's not a lifestyle or alternative lifestyle. It's not love. It is lust. It's the lust of their own heart that God has given them over to. But it's not love. And as the Bible says here, for this cause God gave up unto vile affections. It is vile. It's disgusting. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. They're wrong. There is no case in which this is acceptable. It is an error, and it is a huge error, and it is an unnatural error, and it's one that God has given people over to even do, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. When you understand that concept that people are naturally have a governor in place, are naturally bound to not do those things, then you could understand, well, okay, this is when people do end up this way. It's because God's removed that from their heart, demonstrating they've already been given over to that. But why did they get over to that? It's not because they even had that desire in their heart. It's because they knew God and glorified him not as God. They made their own God. They rejected God. That's how they got to that point. And then God gives them up. So when people, when I make a statement like I believe all homosexuals are going to hell when they die and they can't be saved, it's not because they commit the sin of homosexuality in itself, as if you commit this sin, it's unforgivable, like the sin of the blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Homosexuality is not the same as blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It's not. It's not the same. It's part of the law. It's definitely a sin. It's a capital crime. There's other capital crimes, though, too, that if one person commits that doesn't make them automatically a reprobate. In fact, none of those sins make the person a reprobate. But this one sin shows us, hey, they've already been rejected.
Yeah, that's right.
It's already happened through other means, not because of that act, just because they rejected God. Now what we're seeing is the result of their rejection of God play out and manifest itself in their life. Because when they reject God, God says, okay, I'm going to remove this limiter. And this concept, this understanding of people who have become reprobate explains so much in the natural world that otherwise, at least through the lens of Scripture and the Bible, would be unexplainable, inexplicable. The documentary, I don't know if we have any more of those or not, but Psychopath Reprobates that Pastor Menes put out, Verity Baptist Church, is an excellent documentary that discusses that very thing. When you wonder, how is it that people can do the most depraved things in the world? How can you have cannibals, people eating flesh, people doing just the worst of the worst, things that would just be unimaginable until you hear about it on the news? They did what? That's disgusting. How could any human being actually bring themselves to do the things that some people have done in this life? If you actually stop and think about it, like, wow. I mean, the people do some things that are so far removed. I mean, even if you had the wicked thought of wanting to do something, I mean, bringing yourself to go through with some of these acts that people have done in this world is mind-boggling to think. I mean, the act of defiling a child alone is something that's just so, it's so horrible. It's so horrifying. It's so bad that you can't fathom how could a person, look, I've been in a room alone with kids before, and the farthest thought from my mind would be of doing anything that people have done, and even if that crossed your mind, you're thinking, like, how could anyone do this? How can it be done? How could someone bring themselves to do such a thing? It is unconscionable. That's the key. It is unconscionable because they don't have a conscience. It's the conscience that has been removed. And that shows us when someone has no conscience, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. That is the only way people can do the sick, sick things in the world. But that also tells us, hey, this person is beyond salvation. This person has been given up on and given over because they cannot believe, because God has just opened up the floodgates for them to sink down into total depravity. This is what I believe about this subject. This is what the Bible teaches about this subject. It is, I would say, I mean, without it, this is not questionable to me at all. The scripture is very clear. We can see this from the passage. We see God giving up people to disgusting affections and then explaining what that is. Hey, women are lying with women and men are lying with men. And that happens as a result of God giving them up, which happened as a result of them rejecting God. It's what the text teaches. And I think it's the most clear cut in Romans 1, but it's also taught elsewhere in Scripture. This isn't the only place. It's not like we have one chapter of the Bible to come to this conclusion. As we continue here, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's going back to the beginning. They didn't like God. They knew God and they don't like him. And they don't even want to think about God. They don't even want the Lord to be in their thoughts. They're trying to push the Lord as far away as possible. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And now we get into the list. 29, 30, 31, 32. These verses. It's going to list off all manners of sin, all kinds of sin. But notice, verse 29 doesn't start a new sentence. It's still a continuation of verse 28. That's where the sentence starts, which is still a conjunction with the rest of the passage. So because they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, there's a moment when God is giving someone over to a reprobate mind. Again, illustrating that this is not just every unsaved person in the world, because then I would say, at what point did God give over a child to a reprobate mind? At what point? Well, this is just all unsaved people. No. Because as a result of God giving them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, it's going to list off those things which are not convenient. It's going to list off everything that now are attributes of the person that God has given over the reprobate mind. There has to come a point where they become rejected. It's not birth. That wouldn't make any sense. I really, as we read this list, try to apply that to a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old or whatever age you think is a reasonable age to think that someone might be held accountable. 7, 8, 9, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to fight about that. Whatever you think is a reasonable age of accountability with someone for their sins with God. Does this sound like that this is when that point happens? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisper. Does that sound like a little unsaved child to you or any that you've ever known? Because it doesn't to me. In fact, as I read this, when it says being filled with and then lists off all these things, this doesn't even sound like an unsaved person. Just average unsaved Joe. This wasn't me before I got saved. I got saved when I was 20 years old. Now, was I a sinner? Yeah, of course I was. Had I done some things that were wicked and wrong? Yes. Yes. But was I full of murder? No. No, I wasn't. I could honestly say that. No, I wasn't full of murder. I wasn't really covetous. I wasn't greedy. I wasn't going after things. You know, that wasn't. How about verse 30? Backbiters, haters of God? I wasn't a hater of God. I didn't know God. I didn't know. If you would have asked me if I was a Christian, I would say yes. I didn't know, but I definitely wasn't a hater of God. I wasn't rejecting God. And I'm not standing here saying this trying to justify myself. Hey, if I would have died when I was 19 years old, I would have gone straight to hell. I was condemned because I was a sinner. But I was not given over to this reprobate mind either. Don't be deceived by the people that want to try to ascribe this list, these sins. Oh, yeah, that's just every unsaved. I mean, it's just the context of Romans. I mean, Romans is talking about sinners and need salvation, and there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And, you know, like, no, this is actually teaching us about a specific group of people.
Right.
You read the context. And one of the things, all of that's by way of introduction, all of that, because there is one aspect of the people on this list that comes out here in verse number 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. And there it is, that word proud. We got boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. So natural, there's a natural use for the woman and the man when they come together. As we already read earlier in this chapter, they do things that are unnatural. So these people have without natural affection, implacable, they can't be placated, unmerciful. Wow, you know, when I read verse 31, it actually starts to sound like a certain group of people to me. It actually starts to sound like a group of people that can't be placated. No matter what you give to them, it's not enough. They can't be satisfied. This sounds like a bunch of people who don't have natural affection. It sounds like a group of people that don't know mercy. They're going to go after you and go after you and go after you, and it's not enough just to lose your job. They want you destroyed. They're definitely without understanding. They're definitely haters of God. With the amount of blasphemy that comes out of the alphabet group, the pride group, people want to show their pride. You go try talking to them about God, they hate God. They hate God. They might make up their own God, but they hate the God of the Bible. They hate the Lord. That's the one true God, the living God. They hate the God. They hate God. They've made up their own. Oh, yeah, they did make up their own. That's why they became reprobate to begin with. Yeah. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They foam out their own shame. They have a lot of pleasure with a bunch of other sodomites, a bunch of other, oh, yeah, that might be the first time I mentioned that in my sermon, right? Sodomites, because they're reprobate. Because they are the people who have done these things, they've been given up over to that reprobate mind to do those things. That's where they derive their pleasure from. And it's wicked. But you know, that's that doctrine in a nutshell. It took me a little bit longer than I was even planning. I wasn't even planning on covering all that. But for those of you that might have been confused ever about that subject, there it is. 20 minutes. The title of my sermon is Abomination of Pride. Pride is one of the things that these people are filled with. So it's no surprise that they are using that word as the banner for their cause. Pride. And they're trying to take an entire month. This is Pride Month. They're proud of their perversion. They want to publicly display it for everyone to see. They don't have shame. They don't blush. It's pride. Now, I'm covering this topic just so people can understand. You know, I started off explaining and applying it to this group. I kind of had to do that. But the sin of pride, it's not even, I mean, in the Bible, it's an abomination. That's why I call it the abomination of pride. I'm going well beyond the fact that they commit other abominations between themselves. I'm going beyond the fact that even referring to sodomites or homos with this sermon, we're going to see what God thinks about pride itself. And I want to show here, just so that no Christian ever thinks they ever have any business, one, defending ungodly and wicked people, but two, especially when people are going to say pride, and any Christian says, I support pride in any context, you're wrong. Extremely wrong, extremely ignorant of the Bible. And I say Christian, meaning if you're actually a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not one of these phonies, fakes out there, there's plenty of those. Oh, man, I saw this video. I don't know how, you know, the social media listens to you or whatever. I know that already. I've known that for a long time. I had some video pop up of some nitwit, some, I don't know if he was Orthodox or Catholic, or they're all the same, right? And he was making this response video to Pastor Shelley on, you know, on all the things that have been going on there. And actually, it wasn't Pastor Shelley. It was Dylan Oz, because Dylan preached a sermon. Good sermon. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I listened to the part that this guy played, and I was going, yeah, it sounds great. And he actually articulated it very great. Dylan did a great job of saying, hey, basically that we should bring back these laws, like the laws we used to have, the laws of buggery, the laws of sodomy. That we used to have in this land, and that God prescribed, and that, you know, if someone is prosecuted, found guilty of committing the act of sodomy, that the sentencing ought to be a capital crime, and they ought to be found guilty. You know, I mean, he laid it out like this happens in a court of law. If they're convicted, sentencing is carried out, then this is what should happen. Amen. That's what would happen in a godly nation. That's what would happen. And he's saying, like, that's not going to happen, but so okay, that's right. And this guy, when I listened to what he said, had zero scripture, of course. These people never could go to the Bible because the Bible's not their authority. He's probably some homo himself. Honestly, he's like some false prophet. He's probably some closeted homo himself. But what came to mind, we're going through the Isaiah Bible study. This is the guy that's saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because that's what he was, and again, I know you guys didn't see the video or whatever, at least probably not. He's just trying to say, oh, the LGBT community, they just need to be reached out to, and, you know, and all this other stuff. And what he's saying, it's just wrong. It's just so wrong and so hateful. And so, why is it wrong? All he's doing is taking one. No, he's not just taking one passage and misunderstanding the content. And that's what he brought up, Romans 1. It's hence the that was his explanation for Romans 1. But this applies. If you understand, this applies to all of us. He still didn't read any of Romans 1. He's just trying to explain that that's all he has. What's funny, though, because the death penalty, capital crime, that doesn't come from Romans 1. I mean, yeah, it says they which commit something are guilty of death. But the actually much more clear, specific verses will come from Leviticus 18 and 20. I mean, that's where you're going to get the, hey, this is a capital crime, because let's look at the law of God. Let's look at the law books. Let's see what God deemed to be capital crimes. Oh, look, there it is, right there in black and white. Can't refute what the law of the Lord was. Yeah, he doesn't want to go back and say that, oh, by the way, yeah, there actually is a verse in the Bible that explicitly says that that is the punishment for that crime. At least that's the way it was in Israel when Moses was given the law. I mean, at least say that much if you're being fair, but you're not being fair because you're a wolf. You're not being fair because you're a deceiver. Because you don't care about the truth. Because you're a false prophet that says, the Lord says this when he hath not said. And you're saying, peace, peace, to try to get people to oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, yeah, he's wicked, he's evil. There is no peace. There is no peace for the wicked. Anyhow, I'm getting way off topic here. Not off topic, off off the rails. Let's go on. We're going to go through. So what we're going to do today, I'm going to take you on a journey through the Bible to many references to pride, proud pride in Scripture. And look, this is not going to be exhaustive because there are a lot of references to this in the Bible. And not only do I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, enough is going to be enough. And I probably won't make it even through all my notes because we'll get to a point where we say, okay, Pastor Burzins, I get it. I get it. Pride is bad. Pride is an abomination. I'm going to start. Turn if you would to Psalm 10. We're going to move forward from Psalm 10. I'm going to go to Job 41. I covered this in a sermon I preached a while back called The Children of Pride. I think that's what I might have been teaching on Judges. I don't remember exactly when I did this sermon, but I was showing how who the children of the devil were. Because in Job 41, it's a chapter all about Leviathan. Leviathan is symbolic of Satan, right? That serpent, the dragon. And in Job 41, the last verse, because it gives all these things about Leviathan, you know, how powerful he was and all this stuff, describing the terror of this beast, Leviathan, this dragon, and his strength and everything else. And then it says in the last verse of that chapter, verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. He's the king. Satan, the dragon, the devil, the beast. He is the king over all the children of pride. And there's people out there who want to call themselves, oh, pride this, pride that. Yeah, you know who their king is? Satan. It is satanic. It is a satanic movement. Totally anti-Christ. Which is evidenced by their fruit. They are fruits, but it's evidenced by their fruit. Psalm 10. Yes, I know that is unloving of me. I know it is. I'm not apologizing. I know that is unloving of me. I am not going to be loving towards the fruits or the nuts. Psalm 10, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. You remember that list in Romans 1 that we were reading? Isn't this just sounding like it matches up? There's boasting. It's his heart's desire. He's been given over to his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous. Think about when you hear covetous, these are people who are driven to try to get things that they don't have, that don't belong to them, that they can't have. Another word could be greedy. People who are willing to trample other people just to get what they want. Who blesses those types of people? We know they exist. But how wicked do you have to be not only to be covetous, but then to bless the covetous like that, to bless these people who are willing to do anything for the love of money. It says, so they bless the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth, by the way. God hates them. Whom the Lord abhorreth, not what the Lord abhors. Right. Yeah. Whom, meaning people. Right. Love the sinner, hate the sin, right? Hate the sin, love the sinner. That's what the Bible says. No, it's not what the Bible says. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. That's what the Bible says. God hates them. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That's the wicked person. That's how they're described. And the desire of their heart, they're bragging, they're boasting, and in their pride they persecute the poor. Let's jump down to verse number 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? And that means they hate God. He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. So, again, you go through this passage and you start seeing all these elements of Romans 1 popping up. It's not a coincidence. It's not by mistake. The fact that they are full of cursing, deceit, and fraud, mischief, vanity, pride, haters of God. Yep. Psalm 36, verse 11. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. So this is a righteous person. Don't let the foot of pride coming against me, and equating that with the wicked removing me, and talking about them being workers of iniquity. Psalm 59. Turn over to Psalm 59. The Bible says, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. This is a righteous man having a righteous prayer unto the Lord, found in the word of God, saying, talking about the people who are taken in their pride and they're cursing and they're lying. And he's saying, you know what, God, just consume them in your wrath. We see the virtue of Moses, who interceded for people regularly. People who didn't deserve it, people who brought things on themselves, but he interceded, he interceded, he interceded. We see Christ as an intercessor, interceding for people, interceding for sinners, right? That's a great attribute to have. Trying to entreat the Lord for other people's sake, to try to have mercy brought upon people. That is through and through a very, very Christian mindset and attitude to have. Yet we clearly see some examples of people, you can read them in Psalms, you read them somewhere else, that talk about, no, God, judge them. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. Destroy them. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. It makes perfect sense when you understand that the people that are being talked about here, these people who are full of pride, these wicked people, these wicked doers, if they've already been given up, if they've already been given over, if they've already made it past the point of salvation, now there's no more reason, to hold out hope, to try to help them out, to try to show mercy, to try to do everything. There's no more reason for it. At least with everyone else, you can say, no, show some mercy, God. Maybe we can still reach this guy. Maybe there's still hope. Maybe we can still get through to this person. But once the hope is gone, it's like, let God burn them quickly. Seriously. Like, it's done. And as you study the Bible, there's not many instances of the imprecatory prayers. There's not many instances of people, you know, having this type of an attitude towards others. They do exist, for sure. It's not one or two, but it's definitely not some overwhelming amount of times in Scripture where we see this type of attitude put forth in a godly, righteous way. But it does exist, and it exists for the very purpose and the description of those people who are given over to that reprobate mind. It gels. It fits. There is no contradiction in Scripture. Flip over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6. The title of my sermon, of course, is The Abomination of Pride. Proverbs 6, verse 16, the Bible says, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." What is number one thing that God hates that's an abomination unto him? A proud look. Number one, proud look. God hates it. Now look, I'm more generally speaking about pride. Obviously, we know the group who is clinging to pride, but pride can be found in anybody. And we need to understand how bad pride is. Not just because of the perverts, but just in general. I mean, nobody should be full of pride. Nobody. It is anti-God, anti-Bible. You know, we are supposed to be humble, not proud, not lifted up. God hates it. It is an abomination unto him. Proverbs chapter 8. Flip over to chapter 8, verse number 13. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Well, there it is just again, right? Just in case you didn't get it from Proverbs 6, you mentioned it in Proverbs 8. Let's go to Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When people get so full of themselves, lifted up in pride, they're going to do something that's going to bring shame. Again, we don't have to mention the group that's claiming pride. We know their shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, it's funny. It's not. I guess it's not that funny. I don't know. It's real, though. How many other, like think about everything that's happening. Where are all the fights and the protests and everything coming from? It's coming from the proud. They're protesting Baptist churches. They're throwing bricks through windows. They're bombing churches. Where's it all coming from? The pride community. That's where all the contentions come from. Where does it come from? Even outside of churches. Where are all the problems coming from? Where is it? Why is it that people are so afraid to say anything against that group anymore? Why? Because they're extortioners, and because the contention is going to come from that group. You know, the group that doesn't get along with anyone, maybe they're the problem. I mean, it's like the person that has, oh, I got a problem with this person, this person, this person. Maybe you're the problem. The proud, they're definitely the problem. Because when pride cometh, then cometh shame, and only by pride cometh contention. That's striving and contending. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 2, the Bible says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Fools are going to speak pride. Proverbs 15, verse 24, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Even their the thoughts of the wicked, the Bible says, are abomination. Even their thought, what's going on in their head, is abomination. But you know what? God's going to destroy the house of the proud. Does it sound like anyone should be proud? Yeah, go ahead, be proud. God's going to destroy your house. And usually when the Bible's talking about the house, it's not talking about like a physical building. It's talking about your posterity. It's talking about wiping out your name from under heaven in the sense of You, your kids, your family, like, gone. Gone. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. This needs to just be plastered all over the city. If we lived in a Christian nation, as people like to say, we live in a Christian nation, why aren't the Christians going to the city councils? Why aren't they going to these places and say, hey, I want to support Anti-Pride Month? You're supporting pride. Why don't we support the fact that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord? Are we a Christian nation or not? I think we should promote those values. That if you're proud, you're an abomination to God. The proud are an abomination. Cities and counties and states should not be embracing pride. You're an abomination to God. You're saying, hey, come, destroy our house quickly. You know, it's funny, I mentioned on, I think it was Wednesday. I brought up the story that I heard, and I don't know any more about the story, really. I heard it on the radio. There's some drag queen story hour for the kids at a library, and I was talking about how, some people showed up to protest, and I think they were getting the event canceled or getting it to stop from happening. I say again, amen, amen. Protect the kids from that filth, from that perversion. Great. And then I mentioned how that there was, and this is all my recollection of the story, that one of the DAs or one of the prosecutors or something in the state or in the city or whoever is going to have that jurisdiction was saying, oh, we want to see if there's a hate crime committed here. And in the wicked society we live in, we all understand what that means. It means they were going after the people who are stopping the event. In a righteous society, you could still have that same statement. We need to see if a hate crime was committed here. Yeah, there was a hate crime committed because those perverts hate children. That's the real hate crime. Now, if he was investigating that, I would be able to say amen. Hey, we're going to investigate whether or not these perverts committed a hate crime against these children by trying to defile their minds. Where are your priorities? Where is your morality? How screwed up do you have to be to call the righteous wicked and the wicked righteous? How upside down is everything when you have a literal pervert dressing up in some costume, dressing in drag, a transvestite is what they called it in my day. I don't care about these stupid new terms. Transvestite, because you're putting on clothing that doesn't pertain to you. Transvestites, the shame, the mockery that ought to go along with that. The people who should have no tolerance at all for people like that now are going to be emboldened to come and have contact with children? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? And who are these people in charge that are not prosecuting the perverts? I was thinking about this morning. You know, I see there's every once in a while I get these videos of people do like man on the street interviews and stuff as satire, as a way to kind of show the stupidity and the mindset of the public at large. I'd be curious how many people would be the Perverts Protection Act, if you were to say, like, yeah, let's pass this law. How many people would actually go for it? And just call it that, Pervert Protection Act. And how many people would go for that? They'd be upset that you're calling, well, they're not perverts. Yes, they are. If they're not a pervert, what is a pervert? I mean, like, how could you even define, that word would have no meaning. Perversion. I've been saying that word a lot lately because I want it to come back. I want people to just label things appropriately. It's not sin, it's love. It's not sodomy, it's love. No, it's sodomy. No, it's wickedness. No, it's abomination. No, it's perversion. No, they're perverts. No, they're predators. I'm not accepting the new speak. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, God doesn't care how many of y'all get together. Doesn't matter how many groups you get and march up and down the streets, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. Amen. Let that be a warning to people just in general, right? I've teach on this plenty of times, not to get you let yourself get lifted up in pride, because pride goeth before destruction. And in haughty spirit before a fall. But man, I can't wait to see the proud, those promoting pride, have their destruction. I can't wait. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Huh, there's that word judgment again. Judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Sin. A proud heart is sin. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 28, I preached through this when we did Isaiah 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. That's God's view of pride, the proud. He's going to destroy it. Pride goeth before destruction. I mean, how many times do we have to hear this in Scripture? This is how God thinks of pride. It's an abomination. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Imagine that. Sodom, pride. The original, and guess what happened? Pride came, and then destruction came. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Took them away. They were proud. They were haughty. Oh, and by the way, they committed abomination. So God said, okay, well, I'm taking you away. Jesus himself said that pride defiles a man. Pride defiles a man. He said this in Matthew chapter 7, Mark chapter 7. Turn if you would to turn if you would to 1 John chapter 2. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Things that come out of you. That's what makes you a defiled or dirty, right? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. So I just listen off some sins that will defile you because they come from within. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So if he didn't mention all the other things, he could have just said, pride defileth the man. Because it's true. All those other things do too, but pride does. Jesus said it, pride defiles the man. Words of Jesus. Well, what did Jesus have to say about the subject? Pride defiles you. First John chapter 2, look at verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world has pride. The world doesn't have a problem with pride. That's why, I mean, look, and when I'm talking about pride, I'm not only, obviously the main focus is the group that's promoting pride. And I didn't even think about it. Again, it just came up again today. We had the visitors driving through. They're driving through from Florida. They stopped here, and they said, oh, man, you just can't get away from this stuff. Why? Because he drove through Atlanta. I stay out of Atlanta for a reason. Now, look, we're here, and we're going to try to reach the community. We're going to try to reach people. We're going to try to reach the kids, especially before the sodomites come and try to defile them and turn them into reprobates. Got to have some light here because there's a real big dark spot in the middle of Atlanta that promotes pride. And I was just like, you know what? I'm preaching about that tonight. And he's like, yeah, you can't even drive through without all their garbage being thrown. And he said, it's disgusting because it's, I guess, and I don't know if there's a parade or anything going on today. I didn't want to know the details. But whatever was going on, he's like, it's disgusting. And they're just trying to drive through. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew, Malachi. I'm going to read from Psalm 101 for you. Psalm 101 verse 2, the Bible says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. You know what it means to not suffer? I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to allow this. A high look and a proud heart. Not tolerable. Christians, wake up. This is not something to be tolerated. This is not something to just look the other way. No, we don't tolerate this. We speak out about it. Yeah, it may be a little uncomfortable. But that's why nobody's saying anything. They're implacable. So don't think that if you don't say anything, well, they'll just get what they want and then they'll shut up. No, they'll never shut up. They'll never go away. They're like a cancer. Yeah. They're going to get worse and worse and worse, and they're going to continue to defile and destroy until this place ends up literally like Sodom, right, where the whole place is given over to sodomy. And then there's absolutely no hope because you don't even have 10 righteous in the city. That's what they're going after, and then God just pours out his judgment then. He saves the few righteous and says, okay, it's a lot easier for me just to take you, Lot. Here you go. I'm going to take you out. Everyone else is getting destroyed. Heed the warning, O Christian. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse number 15. Malachi 3:15, and now we call the proud happy. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know what another word for happy is? Gay. The original meaning of the word gay is happy. I'm sick of perverts destroying good words. I mean, not that long ago, there's nothing wrong with the word gay. Just part of our language. You could even listen to old songs from the 30s and 40s, whatever, that used the word gay, and it was just fine. It was not talking about perversion. It was not talking about sodomy. It wasn't talking about anything like that. Just being happy. The Bible uses the word gay. About someone who has gay clothing. And there's nothing wicked or perverted about that. It wasn't some dude in a dress. Nowadays, you'd say, that's gay. But now we call the proud gay. They're proud. But that's not a good thing. They shouldn't be called that. They shouldn't be called happy. Because one, they're not happy anyways. It's a total lie. It's a total fraud. It's a total deceit. Homos aren't happy. How could you be happy in filth? It's like, hey, let me roll around in a bunch of dung. Wow, look how great this is. I'm so happy. They have to tell themselves that. They have to try to push that in your face. Oh, yeah, no, we're gay. We're happy. Because they're really miserable and wretched and shamed. They're beyond shame. Let's keep reading here. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Sounds like the world we live in today. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, as we're doing right now. Hey, we fear God. This is a big deal. We're talking about this. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Well, you know what? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, thank God for this. You know, when not everybody is bowing the knee, when not everybody is just accepting and tolerating and going along with the pride program, God remembers you. God says, I like that. That's the right response. I'm noting that. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. At least we know when their destruction comes, we're not going to be hurt by it. It's not going to hurt us. Verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Him that serveth God, in this context, are the people that are bothered by this, that fear the Lord. Them that serve him not in the wicked, they're fine with it. They're fine with they that tempt God being delivered and they that work wickedness being set up, being lifted up. Heed the warning, O Christian. Be careful what side of the line that you're going to fall on. You fall on the right side, God will spare you. Now, if you go on the other side, let's keep reading here in verse 1 of Malachi 4. Because it continues on. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what this tells us? We don't have to take vengeance. God's going to do it. We're just waiting for that day. It bothers us. We're going to speak out against it. We're not going to tolerate it. But at the end of the day, you know, the wicked's going to keep doing wickedly and the proud's going to be proud. But then the proud is going to fall and we're going to walk over their ashes. And then we'll see who's proud. As you're being stepped on. As your ashes are being stepped on. Not very high and lofty anymore, are you? Not very proud. Last place we're going to turn, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to close on this. Sorry, both of my sermons went a little bit long this evening, or this today, but what could I do? I suppose I can make it a little shorter. I mean, we're already at the last passage. I just looked down at the clock going, oh, all right, well, here we are. I mean, I could just use less scripture in general, but then you guys would probably go out complaining, I'm not being fed, I need to, you know. And I don't want to hear that. So I'd rather have you stuffed with more than enough than to leave you hungry. Amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times. Right? I believe we're in those times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. There's the pride again. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And as we continue in this list, think back to Romans 1. And if you don't have Romans 1 memorized, go back and do a Bible study and check this out. It's uncanny. I mean, you will just see literally just attribute for attribute, characteristic for characteristic. This is the way it is. Boom, boom, boom. Which, again, okay, let me just repeat this again. If you see a list like this and it's like, wow, these are like exactly the same. And this says this, though, also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it's talking about these men and this stuff happening in the last days specifically. That doesn't mean that this has always been going on for all time. Otherwise, what would be the difference? Why would you even need to make reference to the last days at all? Why? Why would that even be a thing? But in Matthew 24, we see in the last days, and Mark 13, and we see these references going, hey, it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Lot. Why? Because that's when people were really wicked and really sinful, and it's right before the destruction. Which is also why it's being brought up here, because these people are full of all of this stuff. It's not, oh, it's just your average unsaved person. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's different. It wouldn't make any sense to call it out specifically if it's just everybody. That's stupidity. Look at verse number 3. Without natural affection. Well, isn't that exactly the verbiage used in Romans chapter 1? Exactly. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Have nothing to do with these people. Turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are incapable of coming to the knowledge of the truth because they rejected the truth and set up a lie. They knew the truth and didn't accept it, and now they are incapable. Incapable of getting to that saving point. Can't happen anymore. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And notice, when it says reprobate concerning the faith, that word reprobate means rejected. They're rejected concerning the faith, meaning they can't have faith. So we saw when they're given over to these lusts of the flesh and things like that, you say, well, what if God stops them from being given over to that and then they stop doing those things of the flesh, right? Because I could hear someone make that kind of an argument, say, well, look, they're just given over to that, but maybe that's temporary. Well, no, if you're reprobate concerning the faith, you can't have faith. And faith is what you need to be saved. So you can't be saved. Like, that's done. You're done. This isn't just reprobate concerning the boundary of natural versus unnatural. I mean, this is like, I mean, that's included in this, but you're reprobate concerning the faith. You're done. You're rejected. That's why they're called children of the devil. You can't be a child of the devil and a child of God. You've got one daddy, one spiritual daddy. That's it. You're born again unto eternal life. God's your dad. But if you're twice dead, Satan's your dad. Yeah, cursed children, you are a child of the devil. And then there's those in between. They're going to have one dad, one way or the other. They're going to be cursed children. Or they're going to be blessed. They're going to have eternal life. We're out working to try to make sure people can fall on the side of having eternal life. For some people, once you understand, it's too late for some people. Shake off the dust of your feet. Don't worry about them. We got plenty of other people to try to get to that's not too late for them. You probably all know how bad pride is, but you know, it's worth looking at it again. It's worth just seeing what the Bible says about pride. It's not a good thing ever at all. God hates it. It's an abomination. It's so bad that God's going to destroy the proud. I mean, he talks about destroying the proud like over and over and over again. How many times do we read, proud are going to be destroyed. Pride coming for destruction. God's going to bring down, you know, the drunkards of Ephraim, and God's going to bring them low and destroy them. And every, you know, I mean, that's the way God operates. Pride, destruction. Pride, destruction. Pride, destruction. Never do you see pride, blessings of God. Ever. Ever. Doesn't exist. That's why I always have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for teaching us the truth. Dear Lord, I pray that you please help us to be strong in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Dear Lord, help us to stand on the truth. Help us never to back down, never to waver, but that we would proclaim your word to be truth. I pray that somewhere, somehow, we could have people that can repent, get right, and get strengthened in their faith, that if they're saved already, dear Lord, and if they're not, help us to reach them so that they can be illuminated by the truth of your word, and that they can help us to stay off the extreme wickedness that's going on, that's sweeping through our country that you've blessed so much. Lord, we love you, and we just ask for your guidance and direction, and please keep us all safe as we travel our separate ways this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, please lead us.
All right, church, if you could open up your hymnals, song number 375. Psalm 375, work for the night is coming. Psalm 375.
Work in the
Christ, who